with this type of leadership can learn how to do it and how to uplift others and how to really maximize everybody else's potential around them. So you really get to step into this sacred space with an individual and help them however they want to be helped, right? Help them become their best selves.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. Every January, I feel the pressure to make New Year's resolutions, and I know better. I can't tell you how many interviews I've done about goal setting and how not to do it, or how to do it better, or how to let it all go. And yet, here I am at the beginning of a new year, just a girl, standing in front of a new blank journal from an art supply store, asking it to save me with a list of fresh New Year's goals. I'll never learn. And I know that pushing myself and setting goals isn't inherently bad or evil. It's just the pattern of things. After packing up all of the Christmas excess, we feel light and ready for a fresh blank page. But I am so predictable. I know what will be on that list and what won't. I will always avoid body image goals and goals requiring new purchases because I know those don't work. And I will make the same goal that I do every year. To paint and draw more. And then in April or May, when inevitably nothing has been drawn or painted, I'll think, well, you know, maybe next year when, you know, everything is different. Ugh. Now, I know that I'm not alone in this. I see this same disappointment and frustration in my friends when they botch a goal, but I also see it in my kids, and that really digs at my mom heart. If I can be known for anything in this life, it would be for my extraordinary lip-syncing skills. But the second thing I want to be known for is that I'm my kids' best source of support. And if there's something I can do or not do to help them succeed, then I want to know what it is. That's when I knew it was time to turn to a friend and get some advice. Now, quick caveat here. This is not advice on how to force, guilt, bribe, or manipulate our kids into doing what we want. That's next week's show. Just kidding. Instead, I was looking for advice on how to be my kids' best coach in life. So I reached out to Mario Pereira. He's a leadership coach, aka goal guru, for the Sorensen Center, and he has some great ideas, but the best part is Mario's advice applies to any relationship we may be in, whether that be with a spouse, a coworker, a friend, or others in a congregation. Today, we're going to talk about how to think, talk, and act like real goal coaches, but we're also going to talk about how that very process may just end up helping us reach our own goals, too. Yep. Everyone wins in this. Let me introduce you to Mario.
So my name is Mario Pereira. I'm originally from Houston, Texas, graduated in human development. Now I work for the Sorensen Center for Moral and Ethical Leadership as the Leadership Education Administrator, and I oversee a lot of our leadership coaching efforts.
Mario loves being a leadership coach and helping others define and reach their goals. And here's why.
You really get to step into this sacred space with an individual and help them however they want to be helped. Help them become their best selves. One of the biggest things that clicked for me is as coaches, we view individuals as creative, resourceful, and whole in Christ, right? And whole as a person, as they are right now. Because let me ask you, if you were to view somebody in that way, how would you interact with them?
You're inspired by being in someone's presence like that, right? You are engaged. You are fully, like, excited about talking to that person.
Right, right. And if you view somebody the opposite of being creative, resourceful, and whole, how do we show up to those conversations?
I mean, we're already checked out, right?
We're already checked out, and we need to save them.
Yeah,
because you can't figure it out.
This is a problem to be solved, right?
Exactly.
Instead of a person to work with.
Right. And you cannot do it. You're not creative enough to do it. You don't have the resources. You're not whole. We need to fix you. So when we come to this mindset with an individual that they are creative, they're resourceful, they're whole already, they have everything in them, and all we need to do is listen to them and bring their best selves out. Bring their true selves out because we believe it's already in you. And sometimes these individuals don't see it in themselves yet, but we get to see it in them. And when we get to see it in them, we help them see it in themselves.
The most fundamental step in being a great leader is to help those around us reach their potential. And if we're going to do that, we need to think about others with a radical sense of positivity as creative, resourceful, and whole beings. If we're going to be a true help to others, we can't think of them as broken vehicles in need of an overhaul. If our perspective focuses on what others lack, then our perspective is limited as to their true potential and capability. And Mario's right. When you engage with people while having this perspective, everything changes about how you see them. You're more generous with your thoughts. You're more willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're more interested in hearing what they have to say than what you have to say. Listen, goal setting and leadership coaching aside, thinking about others this way would change any relationship for the better, and not just with your kids. It makes sense why this type of positive thinking is the first step in connecting with others on their journey to becoming their best selves. Who doesn't want to cheer leader that truly believes that we are creative, resourceful, and whole? Another way we can think like a good leadership coach is to understand that everyone's best self is unique and individual. No two journeys are the same, nor should they be.
Our best selves, our true selves, can be very different from somebody else's. And that's why we really need to be careful with that comparing game. And that's why I'm so grateful that in a leadership coaching session, I get to know who you are, right? And you get to decide who is your best self. What does that look like? What are your natural strengths and talents? When you start really understanding those strengths and talents, and then you start putting them to use every single day, Lisa, you're so much happier. You're much more energized. And the thing is a lot of us don't take the time to understand our strengths, to understand who we want to become, how we want to become that. Because again, your best self may look a little bit different from my best self. So lean on your strengths, lean on your talents, find out what they are and maximize them. So you need to figure out who you are. Who do you want to be? Because that is who we need. Those principles that are so important to you, that's what we're missing from our team, from our family. So bring that out more. And I think that's a little bit different from other models of leadership because this one is really just trying to get to your true self.
We should lean into those strengths that we can. And it does mean that our lives will look different than other people. But I do think that it takes a mental discipline not to compare yourself to other right. people. I do think that there is a human quality that just makes us, you know, am I doing life right? Is this as hard or this part easy or this as for other people? And you're sort of looking around. I feel like that inclination is very human. But when it crosses over to an unhealthy comparison, it's not only not helpful, but keeps us from our true selves. It keeps us like distracted from really knowing what it is that we want.
Right. And that's where I would invite us to reframe our thinking a little bit, right? It's like, well, you are different. So what are you bringing that this other individual isn't? Because that's what we need. We need you. We don't need another me. I'm already me. We need your best you. So when we start reframing it in the sense that, okay, I don't need to become you because what's missing from this puzzle is my piece. So what does my piece look like? And how can I add it to this community, to this family? When we are our authentic selves, again, we're much happier. And it's not so much of a energy drain to be that person because that's who we naturally are, that's who we want to be, and that is who we are when we're at our best. And when you're your best self, then you can have the most positive influence for those around you. And again, we know we don't need those titles for leadership. You can be a positive influence to anybody around you. And that's one of our goals when we are, you know, helping people to become the leaders that they want to become.
We don't need to look like others in order to be a success. Yeah, I'm looking at you, social media, and literally every magazine at the checkout stand. And that's our job as leadership coaches, to keep that principle in the forefront of our minds and reinforce that for our kids and everyone else. So that's the first step in coaching others towards success. Think like a coach, which means thinking about those around us as creative, resourceful, and whole beings with unique paths and special strengths. And our job is to help them lean into those as they discover who they really are. Once we think like a leadership coach, we can then start to talk like a leadership coach. And no, I'm not talking about standing on a bench and giving a halftime pep talk that changes the game. I'll leave that to Friday Night Lights. Instead, what good coaches say usually comes out in the form of questions.
So what we do when we are working with individuals in these leadership coaching sessions and they bring these goals that they want, they need to understand what's important to them, why it's important to them, who they want to become, what their calling in life really is. And when we start setting goals, we're listening deeply to what they're saying, what they're not saying, how they're saying it, the energy that they're using, the shifts that's going on. We're calling those out. And we're really curious. We're really curious about what they're saying, about why they're saying it. So we ask a lot of questions that really help people go a little bit more introspective.
Can you give me an example?
Oh, for sure. Say we're going to be working on a goal.
Okay.
And it's like, Lisa, what is maybe one goal you would want for this week, this semester, whatever it is?
I think professionally for the Lisa Show, I want to bring really engaged guests and interviews that will impact the listeners in the most positive way.
And I
want to increase that.
Yeah. And how come that's important to you?
Because I feel like the conversations that we have with each other matter.
So if you brought more people like that to your show, how would that benefit you?
I think it'd benefit my personal life. I think it would help me develop as a human as well.
So what I heard there is development. Your personal betterment is important to you. When we ask these questions, we actually get down to your values. And when you say it, you give that power to your goal. A lot of times in a new year, in a new semester, we have these goals, and sometimes we set these goals that we should do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I should be healthier. I should save more money. I should be a better parent. Well, where's this should coming from? Is it external? Is it internal? And if it's internal, what more is there? How come you are saying this? When we dive deeper, it's like, oh, well, Mario, it's not that I should do it. It's that I want to do it. Tell me a little bit more about that. Why do you want to do it? So when you start approaching goals with that attitude, it is going to take you so far.
Friends, the way to talk like a leadership coach is to speak with curiosity. Your curiosity in kids and in others is what will help them dig down to the root of their goals. So ask questions, and lots of them. And when we've asked each other enough questions to move some of that soil, we may find that the roots are deeper than we thought, or we may find that there really aren't roots there after all, and it's time to adjust our goals. Once we drill down to a real goal, finding an accountability partner is crucial. Accountability partners help us stay focused and motivated and honest with ourselves. And this is where we can really shine as coaches. We can be fantastic accountability partners because all it really entails is being willing to ask more questions.
When we see an individual as creative, resourceful, and whole, and I'm talking with you and you're starting to make these goals and I'm listening and we're getting down to the values, we end up coming to a co-creative process where I'm asking you, well, Lisa, what's your next step? Well, what does that look like? What is that going to lead to? How is that going to help you? What's another step that you can do? What's another way to reach your goal? Right? So then we start coming up with all of these different plans. And by we, I mean you, right? It's a co-creative process because I'm listening, because I'm asking these questions. But really, we truly believe that you have the best answers for you. And if you don't, again, you're resourceful enough to find them. And it's like, well, I don't really know, Mario. Well, what can you do? I don't know, maybe look at YouTube, Google it. Okay, perfect.
Sure.
What else can you do? I guess I can talk to this individual. Oh, how come that person? Oh, because this and this. Who else can you talk to? What else can you do? Right? So we just keep expanding and opening their mind and really encouraging and inviting them to go further than the limits that they've set for themselves. So again, when we are able to ask these questions that really dive deep down to, well, what's important about that to you? What aspect, what characteristic do you want to get better at? We start seeing the end much clearer, which will help us get the right steps forward to reaching those goals. And that's what accountability partners do. Right. However, again, I really want to let everybody know that we can do this as friends. We can do this as parents, as siblings. No matter what our community engagement is, we can do this with those around us and really help them come up with their best plans forward.
Something that stood out to me in what Mario just said is that as coaches or accountability partners for others, we can help them come up with their plan. They are the ones doing the driving, not us. And this is a pattern we can use for any relationship, but especially with our kids. I don't know about you, but when I think of my kids taking the wheel, that can feel risky to say the least.
It's scary to give up some of that power as a parent because we're so afraid that our children are going to choose the wrong thing. Sometimes they may, sometimes they won't, and they'll surprise us. Even when they do, we can be there for them. We can't save them from everything. So sharing that power builds trust.
This may or may not be a different approach than the one I've used as a mother for 26 years. I mean, I've always had the plans for my kids, and they've been awesome plans. But when we are the ones with the plan, we aren't thinking of our kids as being creative, resourceful, and whole enough to succeed, and they can tell. And now I can see why that isn't going to pay the same dividends as honoring others' choices. Sorry about that, kids. What can I say? Letting go of that control as a parent is really uncomfortable, but it's never too late to change. Talking like a good goal coach and accountability partner and parent is all about asking questions, and that I can do. Mario says that once we've helped each other hone in on our goals and values driving them, there are a few more essential questions we need to ask.
The first thing that I would say is ask them, how can I best support you in this? Or even, what support do you need? So when we start asking them first what they need, who do they need it from? It's good for us to offer ourselves and see, well, how can we help? I would say even before that, let's figure out what help looks like for them. Mm. What do they want? Who do they want it from? Because sometimes it's not even going to come from us. It could come from them. It could come from God. It could come from spirituality. It could come from friends. It could come from so many different aspects. So empowering them to figure out what support they need and who they need it from.
Good accountability coaches talk others through finding the support they need, regardless of who or what the source may be. But Mario cautions that helping our goal partners find support is not the same as fixing the problem. Fixing things simply isn't our job.
We want to solve the problem. We want to focus on this box and fix it. And if we do that without listening and talking and asking our partners a little bit more what they need, what they want, we may miss the mark. And it may be like, well, Mario, actually, I don't need you to solve this. I can solve this on my own. I just needed somebody to vent with me, to validate me. Oh, well, I can do that. And if we do that, oh, that felt so much better and I'm good and let's go forward, right? So sometimes we tell ourselves these stories without really understanding the individual. So if we could ask more questions instead of just trying to fix things and help things, then it could go a lot further because again, we're seeing them differently. We're seeing them more deeply. And again, it can be a skill that we can all get better at.
If you're a Fix-It type person, stand down. As the mayor of Fix-It Town, I know this can be hard. It may come with a lot of lip biting and fist clenching, but we have to remember that a good coach doesn't play the game for their players. They help the players play their game. We do that by asking questions, figuring out where the support needs to come from, and taking a deep breath to remind ourselves that this isn't our problem to solve or journey to take. If we can think and talk like a leadership coach, acting like one is a breeze because it really is just an extension of what we've already come to know. This is especially true when it comes to helping others who are struggling with their goals. It's easy to cheer the winning team on, but what about the team that's falling behind and losing faith in themselves? What do you do then? It all goes back to that first mindset we talked about, that people have inherent worth that isn't changed by failure or success. This journey is all about progress, not products. And that's why we give each other grace.
Begin with grace. You know, you got to give yourself grace that this is a journey, because what we see sometimes when we run into those situations is this perfectionism. Hey, well, I've set a goal to work out every single day, right? So now when I didn't make one of those days, everything is shattered. I didn't reach my goal and it's all over.
I'm no good at this.
Exactly.
Why do I even try?
So yeah. One thing we can really do is remember that it's a journey. It's a journey, and it's not about perfection. It's about progress. So as long as we can see that progress, we can see we're moving to our true potential. We're moving to who we really are. So even if we are alone, if we just give ourselves grace, realize it's okay for me to mess up. That's why we're here. I cannot be perfect. I won't be perfect. But what progress am I making? Where was I a little while ago and where am I now? And even if it's just a little bit better, well, then I'm better than I was yesterday.
A good leadership coach is going to focus on progress, not perfection. We're going to remind others that failure is normal and that grace is essential. But we're also going to help them discover their next step and feel empowered to keep going toward their goal. And when others can't see themselves clearly, we're going to remind them who they are and how far they've come. That's what a coach does for others. Now, we've talked all about how to coach others towards their goals, but here's the thing. The minute we learn to help others on their paths, we're also learning how to help ourselves as well. We can't help but benefit personally from the process because we've internalized it as coaches. Mario has seen this in the students he's worked with.
Some of the students will say, "I'm so glad that I get to do this for other people and with other people and empower them." And a lot of times they get this realization that they're like, wait a second, if I can do this for others, I can also do it for me. So it really changes who they are. I tell people a lot of times when you receive this leadership coaching, it's a very empowering experience, right? You start feeling it and like, okay, I got this. I can change the world. When you start learning to implement these skills in your life, Lisa, it becomes life-changing.
As we coach others towards their goals, those principles will inevitably rub off on us. And then it's not only our friends and families and coworkers reaching their goals, it's us too. Now, earlier in this episode, I told you that I inevitably make a goal to do more drawing and painting, but it never seems to happen. And why? Well, I sat down for a few minutes and really thought about this. I put my goal coach hat on and had a little heart-to-heart with yours truly, Lisa. Why do you make a painting goal each year? And that's an easy answer, because I value painting. I've done it in the past, and I have felt genuine and lasting fulfillment from it. So why aren't you painting right now? Well, probably because I'm too busy with other personal responsibilities and projects. There are other more important things to do. I have been used to setting aside my own goals for the immediate needs of my family for years and years, and that's a really hard habit to break. I'm worried that if I value and put time into myself and what I want to do, that some other need of my kids or friends will be neglected. And it's just not true. So just bringing it to the forefront has helped me realize that I'm standing in the way of more fulfillment and joy for myself. Taking the time to think, talk, and act like a coach for myself was hugely helpful. I was always dwelling on the surface of my goal, which would seem like, you know, repeated failures. And now that I've done some digging, I have a better understanding of how to proceed and how to talk to myself in order to reach my goals. You know, we can be great coaches for our kids and others if we start by thinking like coaches. And that means remembering that people we work with already have the answers. They don't need fixing. They just need our support. We can also talk like goal coaches by skipping the speeches and the guilt and the shame and opting for questions instead, lots of them, to help others define their goals, their plans, and their sources of support. And finally, we can act like goal coaches by focusing on progress over perfection and helping others see themselves as the creative, resourceful, and whole beings that they are. And spoiler alert, in doing so, we may just find that we are also creative, resourceful, and whole beings who can reach the goals we never thought possible.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Becca Hurley, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Kit Merrill. A special thanks to our guest, Mario Pereira. A link to the Sorensen Center for Moral and Ethical Leadership will be in our show notes. Please make sure to follow us here so you can catch new episodes, and then head over to the Council of Moms feed right here on your favorite platform. Thank you for your messages. We read them all. And thanks for listening.